Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. I've asked some people to sing today. Roz and Vanessa were going to sing, but Vanessa had some issues with her plane coming in too late, so they had... I thought this was very sweet. She said, we could... I saw her note to the tech team. She says, we could work it out, but with the timing, I want to respect your time. I thought, okay, that's pretty elegant of you to say that. So that's what you call a team player, who says, you know, yeah, I would love to sing, but it didn't work out. We'll get you next year. So, but we are blessed to have our own Corday Harris, who is down here from Piedmont College. He's going to be singing. And Corday just did his, what do you call it again? His capstone, which it, like for theater majors, that's, it's like doing your thesis for a master's or a PhD. It's like it's a one-man play that you have to write and they judge and everything. And we were planning on going up, but there were tornadoes that day and Ken's dad, there's no way we could do it, but he knew I was there in spirit. And we have gone up there to see him before. I told him, I said, when you win that Tony, you better say, I want to thank my bishop who believed in me. So he's going to be singing for us, and then Eddie Sellers is going to be singing for us, and that's always great. And we just flew her in from Hollywood, the one, the only Shonda Corelli. And it's possible that I may even sing today, so we'll see. No, we don't stop. No, really. Without any further ado, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and get started. Would you please welcome our friend and our brother, Corday Harris. Corday, come up and sing for us.
I want to say thank you for allowing me to be able to do this. Thank you, Bishop. Thanks, Mom, for being here. Just thank everyone for being here. I hope you guys have had a wonderful 2016 year, that you guys have a great Christmas, and just enjoy the song with me. I'll be singing Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on waters? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary did know. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live. again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great
Cordae Harris. Beautiful. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That was really good. That's how you snuck that high note in on something. We were like, yeah, he's all right, he's all right. And they're like, ooh, okay. All right, okay then. That was awesome. Thanks, bud. You may be seated. Very, very proud of Cordae and believe for good things in his future. He's an extremely talented young man. If you ever get a chance to see any of his performances, please check it out. I actually was going to ask Eddie to do this song, but sometimes I like to give people creative, well, all the time. I'd rather people do what they want to do. I think people do better when they choose their own material. And so I just said, well, can you sing for us? And he said, yeah. He said, I think I might do the song he's about to do. And I said, I'm so glad, because I really wanted you to do that one. And it's one of my favorites, and I love to hear Eddie sing it. So without any further ado, would you please welcome Eddie Sellers. Eddie. Do your thing.
Well, it's not that I don't know the words to this song, that I've reached an age where I have brain freezes and words just seem to disappear.
Yes, we might.
And you know, back in the church, in the Pentecostal church I was raised up in, if you was ever on stage and that happened, well, you just started speaking in tongues, so you had a cover. But if I just started speaking in tongues up here, I'd look like a crazy man. Oh, Lord. Merry Christmas, everybody. Isn't it good to be here this morning? You know, just absorb this flow and energy. And every year I wait for something. It's kind of hard to get in the Christmas mood. You know, there's just so much going on in our lives. And then last Sunday morning, I leaned over and told Patrick, I'm like, wow, it just hit me. The music was so beautiful, the singing, the atmosphere. Knowing Jim was about to come up there, didn't he? He kind of acted like a rock star, didn't he? Get situated right here. Get little nervous jitters out of the way and get comfortable. I got me a... It's kind of been a strange last week or so. I really do feel Christmassy, whatever that is. And any time I sing a song about Jesus, if it moves nobody else, it moves me. I love the Lord. The Lord has brought me through a lot, through life. And so when I think about Christmas, I think about family and people that you love. And my mama, who's been gone for about 10 years, she had three sisters, and they sang their whole life from the time they were a little girl until they all died. And when you start to reach my age, I don't have a lot of family left. I have my kids, my grandkids, but my brothers, my mamas, my aunts, my uncles, I've said bye to them along the way. And but being raised up over in the streets of Cabbage Town and in a little poor mill village, Mama and Colerain and Lottie and Betty, without a guitar, just sitting out in the yard, they would just start singing. And each one of them knew their part, tenor, alto, low alto, lead. And something about hearing my aunt sing, just, it was just like sitting in heavenly places. This is a song they used to sing when I was young. And I just kind of, when I sing, I just try to make it mine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining bright through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone. Guiding the wise men on their way unto that place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Give us a lamp to light the way unto that land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. I'm gonna drop this pick because it's bothered me, and do it with my fingers. Then, oh, beautiful star of hope and light, guiding pilgrims through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn, into that land of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Well, oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Give us a lamp to light the way unto that land of endless day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope, the grace, for the redeemed, the good and the blessed, yonder in glory when our crown is won. Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Give us a light to shine the way unto that land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Beautiful. Wow. Eddie Sellers. Wow. It's good, wasn't it? thanks, Edward. Appreciate it. You may be seated. Yeah, you. Woo! You tore us up there for a minute. I know. I was looking at you. I was gonna say, if you wouldn't quench the spirit. He said, "Get a tent. I'll go on the road with you." Sammy. He tells me, "I'm a Swilly-eyed. I'm not even ashamed of it." Oh God, you crack me up so much. That was good. All right, that's enough. you know, you love people, and then in Christmas, there's a whole other way that you look at them, you know, and just hearing these last two songs just makes me love these guys, appreciate them even more. There's even... They're back and isn't here today, but Susan, I don't know if you can find it, but it's on my blog. There's a picture, and I don't want to embarrass Alicia, but there's a picture from the party the other night. We've all got candles, and there's this picture of, if you can find that, a minute. Well, you can do it after this next song. What's that?
She got it.
Okay. I don't know. It's just, I just love all of you so much, and seeing you each connect with Christmas in your own different way. And I don't want to say what I'm going to say in a minute, so I'll shut up right now. You know, I love this whole family. It's not just Chandra, obviously. I love Larry. One thing I love about Larry and Chandra's relationship, they're both each other's number one fans. There's no doubt Chandra Carrilli is one of the most talented women I've ever encountered. And I would say that if I'd never met her. I mean, I would just say, my God, it's amazing. But I was, the first time I watched the show where she plays Miss V, she's such a good actress that it took me a minute to realize that was her. I mean, seriously, I was like, it's like, she was like Meryl Streep disappearing into the part. I'm looking, I'm like, that's really funny. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Chandra. But that, I told her, I said, that's the sign, not just of a comedian, but that's a good actress. Because that means you absorb the part. Even if it's a sitcom, I mean, sitcoms, that's acting. And obviously, you know, the singing goes without saying. One reason Chandra is especially special to me about Metron, she was kind of like the first person I ever discussed it with, like from the church. I mean, because I don't remember why we were talking, but she said, well, explain to me what it is that you're doing. And I told her the concept, and she said, oh, I know why. It's because I was asking you to be my first artist of the month. And she said, well, before I say yes, explain to me what it is. What's going on? Because they were part of Church of the Now. And I remember she said, Larry found the church first and told her, he said, I found our church. And she said, well, let me... You don't just come up in here and tell me that. And I love this. She said, I was having such a good time that it was several weeks before it dawned on me that you were a white man. And I love that because I thought, okay, good. That means that on some reality, we're operating in a higher consciousness. And I love when I hear little, you know, sneak previews of the world that we're moving toward. And so when I told her about look at that, I know that embarrasses Alicia's very, you know, she, but Isn't that just beautiful? I tried to crop it out and just post it, but when it got a little grainy when it was bigger. But I don't know. That picture just touched me so much. It's like, I guess I was thinking of it when he was there. The song you just sang has a lot of allusions to light, and I don't know. Just isn't that beautiful? And she's, and I guess those of us that know Alicia, she's such a. I know this is embarrassing you. She's like, for God's sake, take me off the screen and stop talking. I mean, Alicia's so, she's like complete opposite of look at me, you know. And I'm like, so here you are on a screen, and I'm talking about you. Too bad. Well, and if you know her, that's who she is. That's not an act. All right, then leave and let me finish. I'm sorry. There's just some of these girls that are my daughter's age. I kind of feel paternal to them. I feel it with you. I feel it with Alyssa. I feel it with Selena. Chelsea comes, I feel it with her. Chelsea reminds me so much of Christine. All right, enough. But I just love you all so much. I feel it with Tondi. Tondi also comes up, tells me she likes my jacket. So sweet. It's just fortuitous that Chandra was able to be here today because her schedule's pretty busy. And as I've told you before, I was sitting right about where Danny's sitting watching Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and this theater was packed. And I was sitting there next, and when it comes into, the club is called Chandra's in the movie, and she's singing I Want to Love Again. And I'm like, leaned over to the lady next to me, I said, I know her. She's like, okay. I said, no, I mean like she's a friend of mine, and she goes to my church. She goes, okay. I said, no, I mean like I know her. Like, if I walked up to her right now, she would know who I am. She's like, so then the lady called security, and it was a whole thing. But I'm just really glad she could be here today. And I told her, do as much as you want to do. Would you please welcome the one, the only, Chandra Carelli?
We are so blessed, right? We're so blessed to have each other. You know, I'm so grateful to God. It just seems like it's clipping out a little bit. But I feel so grateful that I'm able to be here. Some people didn't make it. And so we really need to understand how blessed we truly are. This is one of the times. Thank you. But this is one of the times where, I don't know, I just grow nearer to my Father. My Father God, yeah, in this period of time. And I just want to praise Him, yeah, and thank Him for His grace and for His mercy. Come and find. the Lamb. And don't you know that he's faithful, 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 so faithful, faithful is the Lamb, faithful is the Lamb. And one more time, you know that he's with precious, 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 so precious, precious is the Lamb, precious is the Lamb. I just want to say one more time that he's worthy, 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 so worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Yes, he's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm doing this for my family right here. And you are my family. Yes. You know I want you to move on this, right? Yes. Bring it up. Of life calling for me, Lord, for me, Lord, and a voice, the fear of a child calling, oh, oh mommy, me, Lord. There's no mountain too great. Hear these words and have faith. Oh, 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 oh. Have faith. Yes, and you can sing with me because I know you know. He lives in you. He lives in me. He wants us over everything we see into the waters, into the truth. In your reflection, he lives in you.
My God, bring it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, 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 thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Brightly shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, this weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is just love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us bless his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. And his glory. Yeah. His power and His glory evermore proclaim. Just
remain standing with me. Silent night, holy Son of God, love's pure light. Son of God, love's pure, radiant beams. Radiant beams from thy holy, with the dawn of redeeming grace, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. You may be seated. Again, thank you to Corday and Eddie and Chandra. Just excellent. Beautiful. Couldn't be better. I do love that song. We heard, we went to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I don't know how many it seats, but it's thousands of people in there, and the choir did A Holy Night. It was just amazing. The youth choir that sang when the Pope was here at the 9/11 Museum, they blow you away, and they did couple of Nigerian Christmas carols that were so cool. I've been singing them. There's a pretty little baby in the manger, behold, believe and be baptized. And they would do, I don't know how they did it, but they would do this clap thing while they sang. It was just unbelievable. But there's nothing like, this feels like family. This feels like Christmas, you know. That was beautiful, but this is, all I want to share with you today, you know, I obviously love going to New York. We had a great time, and everything was wonderful. We left early Wednesday morning, and exactly as we had planned it. That's the way it worked out. And Wednesday night we were in the audience of Seth Meyers taping late night, so that was cool. I love 30 Rock and going there, so that was. We got to look into the Saturday Night Live studio while we were standing in line, so that was cool. And Thursday night, we went to St. Patrick's, and my friend Dominic that I went to college with, he lives in Staten Island, he came and met us, and that was wonderful. And then Friday night, we went to Madison Square Garden to see Louis C.K., and he's... I had just never been anything at the Garden, and I wanted to check it out. And he's hysterical, not for the family, but hysterical. One thing I do love, I'm amazed he sold out 5 consecutive shows. It's just amazing that this comedian comes and stands with a microphone and thousands of people buy tickets for it. So just on that level, I'm intrigued by, you know, this guy's got no overhead. He's got no musicians he's got to pay. It's like he's just him and a mic, and we all bought a ticket. And even though he's out there, don't bring your mama. But there's a certain reality in the way that he talks that I actually relate to and kind of identify with on a certain level. That's the way that I minister, you know, where I just, the transparency is what makes the connection with people. And some of the stuff he shares, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not believing you just said that. But you're laughing at it because you relate to it on a very human level. Like, wow, you said something nobody should ever said out loud, but it is funny. So that was great. And then yesterday, before we went, walked up to see a matinee, we hadn't seen any shows. We went to see Holiday Inn. It's a remake of the movie that was made in 1942 with Fred Astaire and Fred Astaire and I can't think of, he's another biggie and I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, they've done a Broadway. It's all Irving Berlin music. It's where the song White Christmas came from, and it was really good. And some of you remember Corbin Bleu, that used to be on High School Musical. He's in it, and he's incredibly talented. That was great, and it was a really good Christmassy thing to see. What?
He's guessing
for a lie. No, not for a lie. Bing Crosby. Thank you. Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. Thank you. And it was great music and dancing. It was just the kind of, it's a Broadway musical. It's like, felt really Christmassy. And it's in the old, what was Studio 4? Studio 54. It used to be the Roundabout Theater, and then in the 70s it became Studio 54, and then now it's a theater again. So there's, you know, the ghost of disco. To the 54. I'm singing, aw, freak out. Yeah. So we didn't. We did the bump and the robot for in honor of Studio 54. So that was cool. But we also went, and this is what I want to talk about. We also went, Ken wanted to see the 9/11 Museum, and I had seen the preliminary that they set up, but we hadn't seen the full museum. And so we went, and it's amazing. But this is what I want to talk about, if I'm going to leave you any Christmas message at all. Obviously, I love New York and been going 25 years, I guess, at least once a year, sometimes more. My dad said one time, he said, why do you want to keep going back to New York? He said, you've already been. I said, Dad, that's like saying, why do you want to go back to the beach, or why do you want to go to the mountains? I said, we love it there. And then there's always somebody who says, you couldn't pay me to get in all that. And I'm like, well, nobody invited you. Nobody, good news, nobody's cutting you a check. So nobody asked your opinion about it. I wouldn't get on one of them subway. Nobody's asked you. Nobody's asked you. Stay in Lithonia. Nobody is asking you to go to New York. So you don't even need to express an opinion. I'm willing to get in the crowds because I want to go. It's worth it to me. I don't tell you the stuff that you like to do. I don't say, well, I don't know why you want to get up and stand in a deer stand before a day. Well, nobody asked me. So if that's what you like, namaste. That's on you. Enjoy. I have no opinion about it. So over the years, I don't think I've ever been to New York that we haven't gone, even when Debbie and I used to go, we'd always go down to the World Trade Center for one reason or another. Across the street from there is a place called Century 21. It's like a big Marshalls, a big TJ Maxx, so that you can get really nice designer stuff for like half price. So that's always been, you know, my pilgrimage to, like, before we go, I got to go get this year's suit. So, you know, go down to Century 21. So, and we used to go, there used to be a tickets counter in there in the lobby, like whatever they had left over that day, you could buy, 40% off tickets or whatever. So we were always there for one reason or another. And I think Debbie took the boys up there just a few weeks before 9/11 because they'd never been to the top of the building. And so, you know, we had a lot of connection with it. And then not long after it happened, she and I went back up there. And we didn't mean to do this, but we went down to observe all the, you know, just everything. And somehow we ended up at a place we weren't supposed to be. And we're literally wading through, like, ash up to our ankles. And I said, man, we shouldn't have turned in here. And I didn't know how to get out. So we're like, I mean, it was freaking us out, but we're walking through. So I'm sure it was forbidden to be there. And I don't know how we did it unless I was just supposed to see it. But I said, you realize we're literally wading through people. And that was a trip. And then over the subsequent years, watching them rebuild and clean up. So it's nearly become, to see what happens at 9/11 site has nearly become a metaphor for the way I see the passage of time. And then I remember a few years ago when they were first building the new tower, I remember going there with my boys and watching, you know, taking pictures of that and what that symbolized, that, you know, America rebuilds and life goes on. And then, you know, we're coming up on our second anniversary in a couple of days. And so when we were there 2 years ago to get married, we and Ernie and Avery and Tony and Wayne were up there. So we went, it's the first time we had seen it since it was finished with the memorial that they have. Now, we didn't go to the museum, but we, like, where the footprint of where the buildings were is now a memorial. It's like a waterfall in there. It's genius how they did it. And so we went to that. And even the last time when Ken and I went earlier this year, we stayed right next to it. Our hotel room overlooked it. And then we'd never been to the new tower. So we went up in that. And that's amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, you get in this elevator. And suddenly, as soon as the door closes, all the sides of it become an animation screen. And as it's going up, it's showing you the history of New York. Like, it starts with Native Americans there, and then you see a Dutch colony, and you watch it grow. And then as it goes up through the 70s, you see the Twin Towers come up, and then you see them disappear. They don't make a deal about it. It's just like, well, that's part of the history. And then you get up to the top, and there's a screen showing you the thing, and it opens up, and suddenly you're overlooking everything. And it's just breathtaking. And so it's very inspirational to see, like, wow, you know, we built bigger and better, and, you know, life goes on and whatever. But this time, he said, I really want to see the museum, and it was so insanely cold. You know, we actually said, I don't know if I want to stand in this line. And I said, no, let's do it. I don't know if you remember Kira that came here about a year ago, who was writing a story on Jared and me. She's had some issues with her son this year, so she's kind of tabled it. But she's brought it back, and so I was meeting her for lunch. And she lives in Brooklyn, so that I said, you know what, we're going to be there anyway, so we'll just go to Ground Zero. And I don't care how cold it is, we'll go through. And it's amazing. I didn't even realize, you know, the I don't know what you call them, the pools that are where the buildings were. When you go to the museum, you actually go under them. And so you're seeing all these. I'm amazed at the creativity. As painful as it is, just from a creative side, like, wow, this is an amazing memorial. And it gives you perspective. And there's a room you go in where they have all 3,000 people's pictures who were killed. And it's somebody giving a little snippet about their life. You sit there and you pay your respects. And there's a big wall with a Virgil quote on it that says, no day shall ever be able to erase the memory of you from time. And it's profound. But this is what I want to share with you, because kind of a bit of a message that I've been thinking about, which I might even make into a series, but I know when a word is coming, I don't know if this happens with you, Doc, but when a word is coming to me, it becomes magnetic, and suddenly every conversation that I have, it just starts feeding into that. Even I'm not trying to steer the conversation, but everything becomes confirmation. You know how that is? It's like it's magnetized, and suddenly every song you hear or something on TV or something, it's like confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. And that's why I don't really prepare for a sermon. I'm usually in a season of this is what I'm saying right now. That's why a month series really works well for me, because I'm in that mode for that month, and so it's kind of like I'm in that zone. So my awareness is very heightened for somebody will say something like, wow, that's so interesting you said that, because I'm just talking about it. So anyway, I've been thinking about how do you find the balance between being positive, seeing the glass half full. I believe in all that stuff, power of intention. I believe that, I honestly believe, I was hearing an interview with Jerry Seinfeld the other day. You know, the Seinfeld sitcom was the most successful sitcom in history. I mean, he would never have to work a day of his life and again, and just from the residuals, I mean, it's insane how much money that thing has made. And the interviewer said to him, he must have gone to do a stand-up thing, and he says, I was really surprised you did that, because you don't have to. He said, it really came out of your world. And Seinfeld said this. He said, well, isn't that the goal? We're all trying to create the world that we want to live in. And I thought, wow, that so resonated with me. I thought, yes, 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 yes. I really believe. I don't know that I can create the world, but I can create my world. So I got that. I honestly believe that every thought you think, every word you say, it's constantly building the next reality that you're going to walk in. Which is why when great things happen for us on a trip like this week, I'm not surprised, because we've been talking about how great it's going to be. And it was. I was telling some of the people that were here early, even little things like, we got back from the airport last night, or we landed. I've got a backpack. He's got a hang-up bag. I've got a hang-up bag. I mean, we can easily carry it. But, you know, we walk out the sliding glass doors, and there's a cart sitting there. I'm like, well, all right, fine. That's even better. I had the $5 it would take to buy the cart, but it was just like, it was that ordered. It was like, oh, there's the thing I ordered. And even when we were, we checked out of the hotel yesterday, you know how when your flight's not for a few hours, you can leave your bags there. So I took it to the bellman and I said, we're going to go see a show, but we're going to come back and then I'll just get a cab. He said, I would recommend calling a car. And I know those guys all, they got somebody they work with. I understand how that works, but I liked it because I thought, I'm not going to sit here in this freezing cold and have to try to find a cab. And at least if this is a car that he knows, I'm not getting in the car with some, you know, serial killer that's going to, I didn't think that, but anyway, and I don't know how we got back there at exactly 4:30 I was just like, how did that happen? Because I'm sitting there at the show like, man, if they got to wrap this up. Because Holiday Inn, they do songs for every one of the holidays, and it was already like 4:15, and they were just up to the 4th of July, and I'm like, man, I don't want to miss the end of the show, but they did, the way they ended it, I'm telling you, it was one of those, like when you say you leave and you get here before I do, like how did that happen? It was that, I mean, we pulled up at 4:30 on the dot, and the guy was there with a beautiful SUV, and it ended up, it was cost what a cab would have cost. It wasn't any more expensive. We had this, I mean, it was amazing. Just, I mean, it wasn't. It's just like, perfect, perfect, perfect. Oh, there's our car, la, 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 you know, perfect. So I believe that when you're always talking about how great something's going to be, it's going to be great. And if it's not great, you, like I've told you before, you pull it into your reality. Like, no, this is the world I've created. I don't know what you're going to live in, but I'm going to live in this world. And, I mean, even like in the 91st Psalm where he says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 will come at your right hand, but will not come nigh you. What that's saying is just because it happens to everybody else doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. My question is, however, how do you live in that? And you want to, that Oprah quote where she says, the more you praise your life, the more you, it's basically, the more you're grateful, you draw things yourself. So I'm, obviously, we post a lot of pictures, but I also know that other people aren't having that experience. So I think, well, I never want somebody to think I'm rubbing it in their face. I remember this, have you ever just had somebody say something to you that hurt you so bad? Like my first roommate in college who he never knew it, but let's just say I really liked him. You know what I'm saying? And I used to call him every year on his birthday or whatever. And I remember one time I had talked to him. He was about 7 years older than me. And I had said something to him. I said, you know, of all the guys I went to college with, none of you have ever seen my church. Not one of you has ever come to see this church that I built. I said, you know, I'm not trying to, I just wish one of you would see that and he said to me, he said, nobody wants to come see your big, fabulous life and have to feel crappy about ours. And it just hurt me so bad because I thought, is that what you think? That's what you think? I love you. I want you to, it matters to me what you think. And it just, it made me aware that not everybody is seeing your good stuff as good. And you also want to be sensitive that other people are going through stuff and you don't, you know, How do you do that? How do you enjoy having a Merry Christmas while you're very aware that some people are going through horrible stuff right now? I mean, they're mature enough to know how to compartmentalize this, but their grandson, Peyton, his other grandmother, who he's just as close to, you know, her as he is to Francis, she's like in hospice, cancer, last stages, to the point that, you know, we were agreeing that they could make it through the holidays, and now it's like, let's just agree she gets out of pain. It's that kind of thing. And that's, I mean, I shouldn't say that sucks. That's, I'm in church. It stinks. Not that there's any good time for that, but you're like, oh, man, really, at Christmas? So how are you aware that there are people, some of you have lost loved ones this year, and I'm sure that first Christmas has got to be tough to get through that. It's going to be Sammy's first Christmas without his mom. And you know, I mean, I'm not trying to bring the room down. I'm just saying people are going through real stuff that they're having to work through. So does that mean you don't enjoy your Christmas? I mean, how do you, what do you do? And I saw this. I didn't even mention it to Ken because I wanted to save it for today. But I, as many times as I've been to ground zero, I mean, it's very emotional when you go anyway. And somehow we got lost in the thing. I texted him. I said, I can't take anymore. I'm walking across the street. I was going to get a suit, but I got there and the pipe had broken on the sprinklers. So they wouldn't let me in, so I didn't get a suit, which only made it worse. Because I remember thinking, a new suit will make me feel so much better. But this is what I saw. I just had this freeze frame. I wish, and maybe I'll look through his pictures. He might have a picture that will show you what I'm talking about. But, and we had, let me say this before I say that, We had just had this conversation the night before, because my friend Dominic, he wanted to take us to this place that was around the corner from St. Patrick's, and it was so cold, and I had to go to the bathroom. I mean, I was like, Dominic, this place better be good, because I'm like, I am freezing. And it was really good, but when we sat down, it's just a place called the Brooklyn Diner, and it's not even an expensive restaurant, but it's famous, and people go there, and they're famous for their chicken pot pie, which is insanely huge. Like, they bring you this chicken pot pie, and you're like, is this a joke? Seriously? There's no possible way I could eat this. But he said, I can just now come here because when my mother was dying in the hospital, this was around the corner from it, and this is where my sisters and I used to come while we were just, you know, had to take a break from the round-the-clock vigil. So I associated this restaurant with that, and he said, for a long time I couldn't come here, but I really do love it. And we were talking about this very thing, which was the night before we went to 9/11 Memorial. And he was telling me about, he's single now, but he was in a long-term relationship, 24 years, I think. And he said, I remember when it ended, and it ended badly. I remember my family saying, oh, that person wasn't, you deserve better than that, and there's other fish in the sea and all that kind of stuff. And he said, look, I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but I need you not to trivialize the fact that I have a broken heart. I will get over it, but you're not making me feel better by telling me they didn't realize how good they had it. Because when you're hurting, that doesn't really help. Even if it's the truth. And I remember, I'm telling you, I'm in the now. I love my life. One day, a few months ago, somebody on Facebook asked me, they said, do you even miss church in the now? And I said, no, not really. I love what it was, but no, I don't. I live in the now. I mean, I really, but I do remember, when I came out, we had such an exodus of people from the church and realized we're just not going to be able to maintain it. And some of us who are here today, you know, we put our own money into trying to save it there at the last. And, you know, at least we could say we did everything we could. But yeah, at a certain point, it's like, all right, it's, you know. I mean, to maintain that property, you probably need about a 10,000 member church to stay in the black. And of givers and tithers. I remember going to Eric Lee's service one time, and he was taking the offering. He said, let me tell you, when you make $100, you give $10 to the church. When you make $1,000, you give $100. I thought, all right, well, he'll keep it afloat. Me, I'm like grace, and, you know, like, move walk by the Spirit. And you're like, fine, you know. So anyway, I remember when it was actually, you know, we were losing it. There were people who would post on Facebook, oh, Bishop, the church is in a building. It's just a building. And I remember saying, I know you're trying to help, and I know the church is in a building. But this was my life's work, and it was, I dreamed this, and I designed these buildings, and I walked through them, and I worked on helping to build them, and Debbie and I decorated them. And I mean, it's like, there's no way I could be any more hands-on than I already was. So don't feel sorry for me. I have no regrets, but don't trivialize it and say the church is just a building, because that's making me feel worse. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he needed the moral support of his disciples. He went out on three occasions and said, could you guys just please wait with me? And I just need to know. I can't explain to you what I'm going through, but I need you to at least be in close proximity to me. It would have been ridiculous for the disciples to walk in there and say, Jesus, just have a positive attitude. And, you know, maybe you want, because there's no way they can understand him sweating drops of blood. And sometimes when people are trying to help, they end up not helping because they're trying to cure you too quickly. So the question is, all right, I don't want to feel like I have to get into the... Can you turn that on, please? I don't feel like I have to climb down into the hole with you to be depressed with you. But I also don't want to be insensitive. I don't want to be like, you're doing something, I'm like, la, 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 my wonderful life, nah, you know. So how do I find the balance? Because I don't want to feel guilty about enjoying my life. And I saw it so clearly. Like, you go through this, like the way the museum is, you go in and then the escalators take you down. And I see the way the architect is thinking. It's like they take you down under it. So it's like psychologically, it's nearly like going to the grave. Well, it is a grave. And then after you go through the thing, you know, the escalator takes you out. So it's implicit of resurrection. And I think it's valid. I believe in memorials. I believe, like, I go to, like, if it's somebody I admire, I find where their grave is. I think it's important. I'm not morbid or anything like that, but like, you know, when I went to Memphis, I wanted to go to, it's a museum now, but where the Lorraine Motel was, where Dr. King was shot. And it looks, it's a freeze frame. It looks exactly like it looked in 1968. It's 60s cars down there, and it's just, and I wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted to honor the place where he died. And I feel that with a lot of people. Like, I'm not hanging out in graveyards, but memorials are important. I don't think they should be forgotten. Some of you, somebody told me here you've been to the Oklahoma bombing memorial. And that, I've been there, but I hear that's amazing. And I'm very interested from an architectural standpoint, how an architect interprets grieving and translates it into a memorial to where it's not just a horrible memory, but it's also, you know, it's solemn. You know, the definition of cognitive dissonance is that you can hold two opposing thoughts at the same time. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and in the same breath says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And yet when he sees the tomb, he cries. Life is complex. It's not either or. And so I saw this. You know, he was still down there, and I said, I can't. I'm going across the street. So I go up the escalator, and I walk out, and it's nearly like, at a certain point, it's too much. It's too much. I felt that way. If you've ever been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., it's the same way. It's like at a certain point, you nearly feel like you can't breathe. Like you go in this one thing where they've got all the shoes of the people who were incinerated, and you walk through a train, and it's like you start empathizing with it too much. Like, dear God, people are walking on here with their babies. Like, Jesus, it's like it's too much. And yet, I don't want to be in denial. I want to remember. I think the way things are in our country now, I think we should remember the Holocaust. I think it's dangerous not to remember it. So, and I'm sure next time I go to the to Washington, D.C., I want to go to the African-American Museum. And I'm sure it's gut-wrenching to go through the slavery stuff. But I do think it's important to remember it. I don't want to talk about it every day. I don't think African-Americans want to talk about it every day. But they don't want to pretend like it didn't happen. So you need to say, yeah, I'm an American. I want to be an American. I love this country. But don't just say, oh, that happened years ago. You know, give it the respect that it deserves. And so this has just been on my heart. Even when we were talking to Dominic the other night, he said, I hadn't thought of this scripture in a long time, but because Dominic's a very, you know, he's a very up person. He's hysterically funny. He's over the top. You know, I we didn't see each other for 30 years, and I quoted him for years. Like, he's the one that we were in college. He comes up on a bicycle one day, and I said, I knew you had a bike. He said, I don't. I said, whose bike is that? He said, I don't know. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that's just the way he was. And some of the stuff I can't repeat, but he is, like, we just sit there and wait for him to say the next funny thing because he's just hysterical. And if you see the picture, because he doesn't look like I remember him looking in college. He's like, you know, we've all aged. And when he came up, he's got this Russian hat on, and I nearly didn't recognize him. And then I was like, oh, it's Dominic. When you see the picture of me, said, I'm like, I love him so much, and I'm so happy he's still in my life, whatever. So he's a barrel of laughs. But in this conversation, he said, remember, Isaiah says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he said, I don't ever want to be a downbeat person, but I am aware that we have to be acquainted with grief. And I said, man, that scripture just went through me when you said that. So the next day, we go to 9/11. And it just, everything for me is a teachable moment. The universe is speaking to me at all times. It just is. So, I mean, everything. I see a bird fly and I'm like, you know, it's, and yeah, I'm looking for it, but everything says something to me. Everything is speaking. You know, David got to a place in consciousness where he could actually hear, like he would say, the trees of the field clap their hands, or let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So he wasn't living down here. He was living at such a heightened state of consciousness that he can hear trees talking. Some of you that dropped acid in the 60s will know what I'm talking about. But he's actually hearing, you know, everything saying something. You know what I'm talking about? So everything says something. Look, if you go through life ignorant and stupid, it's your fault. Because there's so much information. If you'll just open up your ears. Well, I believe the Bible. Fine, keep your Bible. But David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. I love and respect the Bible. But if all your information is just coming from the Bible, you're just getting a tiny little bit of all that there is. Why else would Jesus say, go consider the lilies? He didn't say, go read the Bible. He said, go sit in the field and look at a flower, and the flower is going to tell you something. Why is it the Buddhist tapped into that? The Buddhist understood the butterfly is telling you something or whatever. I mean, it's just wrong for people to get such tunnel vision about the Bible. It's beautiful. It connects you to the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. And the Bible writers would completely back me up on that. The bibliolatry that exists today is sick and twisted, and it's caused everything from the KKK to you name all the horrible things that have come out of the letter continues to kill. It kills physically, it kills emotionally, it kills creatively. So I'm always, anytime, if I'm kind of in a state of emotional flux, I'm extra aware. It's nearly like, I feel it first. I feel it before I know it. And I'll feel it, and I'm nearly looking for where's the thing that I need to see. You know, over there in Habakkuk 2, where he talks about wait for the vision, though it tarries, it will come, so that he that reads it can run with it. The previous verse, he says, I will stand upon my rampart, which is a tower. And it says, I will wait to see what he says to me. I love that. I love that he says, God is going to speak to me in pictures. I don't know how it works with you, but God speaks to me in pictures all the time. Sometimes it's through a touch or a word. Words are very important. But man, a picture. Well, once I see a picture, I got it. So we're, you know, I'm walking through the, I don't want to say caverns of this thing, but it nearly feels like it when you go down, and it's just death and destruction. And not only death, it's like there's a whole Osama bin Laden exhibit, and you look at him and you think, why can't Christianity and Islam coexist? Why does it have to be either or? What happened to this man's mind that he felt like Christians had to be annihilated in the name of Islam? Like, what? Like, wow, you have so missed the point. Muhammad would be the first one to disapprove of that. I mean, Muhammad was, even when the Muslims took over Palestine, they still protected the Catholic churches that were there, and the Christian churches. They weren't Catholic yet, but the Christian churches that were there. So I'm feeling a lot of things. And you walk up, and it's beautiful, and they've spent millions and millions of dollars. Even the, Ken's taken some good pictures of it, but even the structure over the subway station, actually, I don't know if they've done it intentionally, but actually it looks like a dove. It looks like wings, and it's pointed upwards. I'm sure it had to have been intentional, but it's you kind of have to look for it. And I came up out of the escalator, and it's all this grief that needs to be remembered. That's important that you hear what I said. It would feel wrong to me if they had just bulldozed the place and put up a Walmart there. That would feel, would be like, no. We need to, this holy ground now, this needs to be honored. So I want there to be a memorial. But I can only take it so long. You know what I mean? It's like, I may not ever go back again. Because like, okay, I did it. I don't know that I can go through that again. You know, there's some things, like I remember, I love 12 Years a Slave. And you know, by the way, Chiwetel Ejiofor that played in 12 Years, you know, he's playing Carlton Pearson in the, so that's cool. But I remember I loved that movie, but I couldn't sit through it again. Like, I bought it on DVD, and I thought, I can't. It's too painful, because I'm afraid it's too close to the truth. And it's just like, I saw it, I got it, it's awesome. And I watched some of the director's commentary and everything, but, like, I don't think I can go through that again. Kind of feel that way about Schindler's List. It's like a powerful movie, but whoo! I bought it for a long time, and it's still in the. So you know what I mean? Like, if we're gonna watch a movie, like, what about Hello, Dolly? But you know, I walk out of the place, and it's like it's there. I want it to be there. I want it to be honored. I think it's important, but in the same vision, there's this beautiful new tower and another one being built. There's another one in construction, and it's like suddenly I saw it. It's like, oh, my God, that's it. That's what I'm seeing. It's like I want to be a man of grief and acquainted with sorrows. I do. I don't want to ever get to the place that I'm so positive and I'm so laws of attraction guy that I can't even empathize with people anymore. That then you're just being a jerk. Proverbs says, he who sings songs to him who is of a heavy heart is like one who takes away a coat in winter. So just telling somebody to cheer up is just wrong. Even, you know, you don't see Lana much anymore, but she said something, because she's gone through a lot. She's gone through some surgeries, and one of them didn't go well. And I think she had, you talked to her, she's had to do it again. And she posted something I thought that's pretty insightful. She said, thank you to all of you who are saying, I hope you have a speedy recovery. But she said, I would rather have a thorough recovery. And I thought, you know what? That's a good point. Because and the Charismatic Church was notorious for this. We wanted to get you in a healing line and get you delivered, and boom, you're done. Next. It was nearly like the assembly line ministry. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah, where he rebukes the priests because he says, you have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly, saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. Meaning, you're ministering to me in a superficial way. That's why Paul said, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Now, can you do both? You're going to have to be a complex person to be able to do both. Because you can't be either or. To everything, there's a season. So if all you're going to be is positive and upbeat, you're not going to have good relationships in your life. And I know I've kind of talked along this line a little bit, and she doesn't mind me mentioning it, but you know, Beth lost not one, but two sisters this year, and it wasn't just the death of them. It was having to go in and deal with their stuff and be their, what do you call it, executor, and clean out their apartment. I mean, it was like, that was rough. And I told her, I said, there's nothing I can say. That's about as bad as it gets, and you will get through it. But she didn't need platitudes. She didn't need me to say, God had a plan. No, it's just something that happened. And she's here, and you survived. But my God, two sisters, and you know, how many months apart? 3 weeks apart. I mean, you know, I said, I mean, pardon my sense of humor, but I'm like, Beth, you win. You know, like anybody that's got a story, like, nah, that one's worse. Two sisters in 3 weeks, and I'm the only one that can take care of it. I don't even have other siblings come in and help me figure out what to do with their stuff. Like, ew. So what do? She didn't need us to sit around and cry with her. She also didn't need us to go, oh, they're in a better place, because you lost two sisters. That hurts. So what do? You hold cognitive dissonance. You're like, ouch, that hurt. And in the next breath, we're going to be laughing. And I saw it there at 9/11. I was like, oh, there it is. Like, in your life, we have all gone through things that have been memorialized. Do you know what I mean? And you've nearly put that grief in another place that you might not ever visit again. But you don't want it not to be there. Does that make sense? I don't know that I'm ever going to go back to the 9/11 Museum, but I'm glad that it's there. If you go to New York, I will say, yeah, you should go see it. I want it to be there. I don't want to go back. I don't want it to be built over. I don't want it not to matter. And it's just this whole thing this week has given me a picture. Oh, that's how you do it. You don't ignore the fact that you went through stuff or that you're going through stuff. And it does need to be memorialized. I mean, isn't it interesting that in Jesus' glorified body, he maintains scars? That's how Thomas recognized it. So your scars are important. But you don't want to talk about the cross all the time either. You want to remember that it happened. When Baptists start singing, I'll cherish the old rugged cross, I'm like, I'm checking out on that one. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't want to hold on to the cross because I don't think it honors Jesus. The Jesus I know is a living Jesus. But I don't want crosses to be banned either. I want to recognize that, yeah, okay, that happened. I want to remember that it happened. I don't want to obsess over it. I want to walk with a living Christ. And this is how you can, I don't know, I already knew it, but now that I have the picture of this, it's like, wow, there's the memorial. You have the memorial somewhere in your psyche. It's somewhere in your soul. It's somewhere in your heart of hearts. And it's always going to be there. I think to say, just get over it, you know, no, divorce or losing a loved one or any of these. I mean, they scar you. Anybody who says they don't, they're out of touch with reality. That does not mean, however, that you can't build a tower. And it's all right there together. I mean, I saw it. It's like there's the memorial, and I'm so glad they built this tower right there next to it. I don't want it to be on the other side of town. I want to remember that it's right there, because that says to me, horrible stuff can happen, and you can acknowledge it, and you can figure out what to do with it, and you can make a beautiful memorial out of it. But that's not all that's here. I love it. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with heights. I don't really like them, and yet I'm oddly attracted to them. I always want to go to the top of things. And I don't know why, because once I get up there, I'm like, oh, sweet Lord. When we went to the Grand Canyon, they've got that thing, that acrylic bridge that loops out. And they closed it that day because there was lightning. And I said, let me tell you something. You can walk out there if you want to. Daddy won't be walking out there. Because even the bridge they built now over above Hoover Dam, because Hoover Dam's already tall. I mean, it's the height of Empire State Building. But now they've got an even higher bridge up there. And we walked out there to take a picture. And I'm telling you, I was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'm like, click, take the picture, take the picture, take the picture. And yet there is something about heights. I go to the mountains all the time. There is something about I have a psychological need to ascend heights. And I saw, this is what I saw. And I just tap into me and feel this with me. It's like I'm coming out of the memorial and you're underground and it's beautifully done, but it's heavy and it's death and it's carnage. And you walk out there and you kind of get your bearings. And then you're like, well, what's that? And it's like you have to go, my God, that thing's tall. God says to Abram, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you now stand. Do you forget the past? No, you honor it. You incorporate it into your life. You figure out what to do with it. I think it's even to the point that I think it's unrealistic to say, I don't want to ever hurt over this anymore. I don't think that's realistic. I think what you have to do is figure out, where do I put it? Where do I put it? And I'm going to make it beautiful. I'm going to make it a part of my life. But I'm not down there. I want to remember that I was there. But I'm up here now. And I want to enjoy my life. And I will enjoy every minute. I know I'm always on this time's passing quickly thing, but can you believe it's Christmas? I mean, last year we went to St. Patrick's and Dominic met us, and I swear it feels like 3 weeks ago. I mean, we're sitting there waiting for the thing to start. I said, can you believe this is a year later? I mean, it's crazy. So I'm all about enjoy it. Don't let anybody make you feel, I tell you what I hate, and this is mostly stopped now. But when we go somewhere and we take pictures, he gets it more than I do, but we'll get somebody, y'all ever work for a living? I'm like, yeah, we work. He works two jobs. I'm on the clock 24 hours a day. I never clock out. I had people texting me at 2:00 this morning. So, yeah, we work real hard. And we play real hard. And when we go somewhere, we have a good time, and we photograph the hell out of it. You know what I mean? And we just enjoy it, and we brag about it. And it's not because we're trying to make other people feel bad. You know what I love? I do love this. People who say, well, I can't go to New York, and I love when you go. I feel like I'm vicariously going with you. I love that. And that's one reason we're checking in all the time, because I feel like in a way I'm taking my friends with me. Like, look where we are. But you know, this is cool. And so I'm not ever going to not be that guy. And anybody that ever tries to make me feel bad about it, like, I'm glad you get to go somewhere. I never get to go nowhere. That's why. Because of your stinking attitude. And if you're going to go, you got to want to go. I mean, going through airport security and all that kind of stuff, it's not easy. It's not like there isn't some effort you put into it. And it costs some money. If it's worth it to you, do it and enjoy it. But also be aware that people around you are going through serious stuff. And let me tell you, and I, some of you that used to be care pastors, I used to say this to you in meetings. You don't always have to have something to say. Sometimes you just have to be there. Because sometimes nothing you can say is going to make it any better. It's just, wait, can you wait with me an hour? And I'm sweating some drops of blood. You can't do it, but I need you to be there with me. Can you do both? Yes. You can have the memorial. You can have the tower. And it's all there. One honors the past. One prepares you for the future. And they're all happening at the same time. So be aware that people around you, people in this very room, are going through some serious stuff. But also make it your intention to have the best Christmas you have ever had without apology. Selah. Let's all stand. Now let me tell you this. I'm going to say this with no poverty mentality whatsoever. Let me just talk business with you. We were not here last Sunday. We will not be here next Sunday, nor the Sunday after. So that's technically 3 weeks out of a month with no offering. There was a time, there's no way we could have done that. Now, because of technology, that's not, we don't have to do that. As I told you, D.E., my cousin, texted me a week before, and he said, "What? Do we both need to take an offering? How are we going to do that when we combine services?" I said, "No, my people give during the week online. We're good." I was like so happy. I said, "We're good." But don't make me out of a lie. Now that I said we're good, y'all got to be good. So if you do give by check, remember, this is it for 2016. This is the last time we're going to be in this building. So if you're trying to get your tax stuff and everything, write today's check, next week's check, and the week after, because there won't be anybody to get it here. I mean, you can mail it, but it's easier to do it here. Danny will be back there if you make it JESM. You know what to do. Let me run this just in case you don't know. I don't always run it every Sunday, but
it would be. Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give any time by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab. Then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
A couple of things before you go. I'm not sure I'm going to do this, but I'll notify you if I do. On Christmas Day, which is next Sunday, we will not be here. Remember, do not drive to this theater next Sunday. But I might do a live something on Facebook where I just give you a little word or whatever. So just be aware of that. I might just have a little moment where we can connect. And I might do it New Year's Day as well. So just stay connected so that you'll know. If you have cash today, you know, we've given a lot this year, and when we're back here on the 8th, I may give you a rundown of all that we did in 2016, so you'll know all the places we gave. This month, it went to Spirit and Truth, because we brought them an offering. I have something for the tech people today. I'm giving them gift certificates. But also, if you have, we couldn't do what we do without them. So if you have extra cash and somebody's really, unfortunately, Michelle's not here and Crosby's not here. Some of you may not know that the young lady that runs around here, that's Charles's daughter who comes with, and she does a lot of work when she's here. I have a gift certificate with her, but also if you have something you want to give to Crosby, give it to Charles and be sure you give it to your daughter. La, la, la. But if you want to just bless them along with what I'm doing for them today, just tell the tech team how much we appreciate them. It's wonderful because I never have to micromanage them. They, you know, they're all self-starters. They're faithful. You know, if one of them can't be here, the others step in. It's really, and of course, I mean, I can't say enough about Avery. I mean, basically, I was going to get Avery a really, really nice gift certificate last night, and then I was thinking, let's see, we haven't done three offerings this week, and we're still paying for the thing, and I said, I may wait for Avery's birthday, which is coming up in a few weeks. And she knows that. She's fine. I'll buy her lunch today. We're good. But it's a, with her, it's a calling, so what are you going to do? Not that it's not a calling, but shut up. Y'all know what I'm saying. Not that it's a, what do you mean it's a calling with her? It's not with us? No, y'all know what I mean. Blessed Christmas, blessed New Year's Eve. I honor whatever grief you've been through this year, and I acknowledge it. But I also call you into the now and into the future. Not in denial, but in honest estimation of who you are, who you were, what happened this year, and where you're going in the new year. You're blessed when you go out, and you're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out of 2016. You're blessed when you go into 2017. It is well. I love you. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Peace. I'll see you on January 8th.